Fred Film Radio is joining the Sydney Film Festival Australia.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the Sydney Film Festival, at least virtually, and the program strand Europe, Voices of Women in Film, presented by the European Film Promotion, which Fred is media partner with. I'm glad to be joined by Malini Tors, director of The Quiet Migration, participating in this program strand. Welcome on Fred.
Thank you so much.
So first of all, Malini, as I told you before I started the interview, the first thing we want you to know and talk about is your film, which belongs to this, which is participating in this program that that sees you and other women directors presenting their sometimes first feature film. In your case, it's not your first film, but your first feature film. Is that correct? The Quiet Migration.
Yes.
Okay.
That's correct.
So how do you, first of all, how would you describe the film? Would you say that it's a coming of age story about, I don't know, a young man trying to find his true self?
I think I will describe the film as a film that it's about racism within mm-hmm. the intimate relationships. And it's about an upbringing as an adoptee in an adoptive family. Mm. And what it's like to feel alienated. Yeah, but it is a film about a young man. It's a kind of coming of age film, a young man wondering what he should do with his life, if he should take over the farm or if he can be true to himself and to search for his roots as he longed for. Yeah.
If I read correctly, it's also autobiographical because you were born in South Korea, but you were adopted, so you grew up in Denmark. And so the first thing I thought is that, why did you choose a male protagonist?
That's a good question. I think I chose a male because I wanted it to be to not be read as an autobiographical film. I wanted to, not having the audience to think that it was a film about my life.
Yeah.
And also I was very interested in knowing more about what life is when you are an adopted male, because I know that they have other issues than when you are a female. And so it's also a film that it's about like having a body out of place. Mm. And because most Danish men, they're quite tall and blonde. So how is life when you not have like a normal body compared to the others in the schoolyard? So I wanted to look at the Asian man in an European context. Yeah.
There's another thing that I liked at the feeling on not belonging. You know, there was this friend of that told me that she discovered that her father, which she grew up with, was not her biological father, and at this very moment she keeps telling me that sometimes she doesn't know if how a real father died, how a real father was, if he was, sick of something, or if he had red hair or blue eyes, or this kind of thing. Silly things and important things, you know, genetics and all that. So, and I felt that your film was exploring also this kind of isolating things, this need to find where you come from, and this question if this is important for a human being to know where it comes from.
Yeah, and I think that it's important to know and to find a home in the world and to be mirrored by people that look like you. And also to have an access to your own history. So it does something to people when they don't know where they come from and from whom. And so if your biological father, for example, had a disease, then you wouldn't know it if you could could get that disease as well. And also, I think that our bodies are also shaped by the nature and landscape and culture where we come from. So when you're not in contact with the place of origin, then there's also something missing in the way to feel at home and
you're right. I never thought about that, but yeah, it totally makes sense. And talking about the style of the film, because when we talk, if you haven't watched the film, you could think that it's dramatic at least, but you managed to make it also funny, can I say that? Comedic in a way. So how did you manage to do that? And did you want to do that from the beginning?
It wasn't intended that this film was also going to be funny in briefer moments. But because of the cast, Bjarne and Bodil, his mother and father, they are well-known actors and actresses in Denmark. They are quite funny, so they came with that. So they made the film get more warm and more funny. So it wasn't intended.
Now, going back to your, let's say, the topics and the themes that thanks to Europe Voices of Women we're talking about, my question is to you as a director, how was your journey as a woman filmmaker? Was it easy? Was it difficult? Did it change along the way?
Yeah, my journey started with The Return. It was my first feature film, and it was a hybrid. Mm-hmm. And I could only get it financed as a documentary, 1-hour documentary film. But it ended up with being a 1.5 hour of a fiction feature film. So it was quite difficult in the beginning to get the funding for the film, The Return, because it was a film about transnational adoption, and the film commissioner said that it was not a topic that other people were interested in. So it was quite hard, but it became a big festival hit, The Return, and because of that, then I then they weren't so afraid of letting me do a fiction feature film. And people around me had trust in the film, so it was much easier to do the second film because of the success of the first film. But it took me a long time to get there, to get to do the first film, because I don't know, maybe it's because I come from this documentary background, so people are always a little bit reluctant if you can make the jump to do a fiction film. And it's where writing a script and directing actors and manage a huge crew So I think that it's not that I can point out a specific moment or something somebody said that it made it easy or difficult as a female director to make a film, but it's more like I think that somehow it is a little bit more difficult because they can be unsure whether you're a good leader on set and if you're harsh enough and I think what you fear the most as a female director is to be seen as hysterical or too much into your own feelings. So you always try to be very calm and have a very logical communication to your crew and the cast.
One of your colleagues here at in Sydney was telling my colleague that she had problems when directing her film because she was perceived as weak since she wasn't portraying the typical stereotype of male director, you know, being authoritative and, harsh in a way. So from what you're telling me, maybe you experienced similar things.
Yeah, I had problem with one member of the crew on set because he didn't like my directing style. And I think he thought that I was too weak and not strong enough to direct a set and the actors because she kept interrupting the recordings and said that no, he doesn't seem afraid enough. And then she started to direct. I had problems with being a woman director on set.
In terms of things changing, you know, in women equality and the access to filmmaking, how do you feel? Do you feel that the change is really happening, or that the change is still imposed? Let's say fake.
I think that it's changing. There are more female directors in Denmark now, but it's something that can easily turn around again, because it has to do with who's in charge of the funding, and if you don't do a good film, in the way that you win prizes or sell tickets, then it's over. So it has to do about the gatekeeper's way of thinking and being willing to investigate, like newcomers, new talents. So there's a risk because many of the female directors in Denmark, it's their like debut film. So you have to trust them. And if you don't do, then you take a man that has done maybe 2 or 3 or 4 films before, because then you're more sure of what he's putting on the table.
Another issue that came in the discussion and the panel that they did in Sydney was that a lot of your colleagues said that they have, let's say, mixed emotions about, you know, the fact that they're happy that there are more possibilities for women filmmakers at the moment, but at the same time, they are tired to be judged and put into a category related to genre or to other minorities. What are your emotions about, you know, seeing that actually women filmmakers are having more possibilities, but at the same time they're having more possibilities because they're put into a category like a minority, let's say that?
Oh, yeah. My feelings about female directors getting a chance in the moment, it's just something I think is really good. And let me put it in other words. I think it's quite good that women can get a job now as a director. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, there's also like schemes for it. But I'm actually not so fond of it, because we want to be seen as normal directors. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm also like, okay, if you get a chance, just make your film and don't go into the discussion about it. Let the work talk for itself and use it as a springboard to do your next film. So I'm also like in between. A little. I think it's good that there are more opportunities for female directors, even though that some of them are coming from a scheme that is more political, because they're backing like minority people with a minority background. But I'm also like, it's a big competition about getting the funding. So if you get the chance, just do it and do make a good film. And because when you have done 1 or 2 good films, then nobody talks about it anymore.
Yeah.
Then you're over it, and then you're just a normal director.
That's true. Sorry, I'm laughing because it's true. Yeah, I mean, we get used to another woman in the business, so that finally they don't have to judge you anymore. I mean, not in those terms. You're right. Yeah. Oh, one last thing, Malini. What's your hope? What are your hopes and desires for the future, in terms of, you know, your job, obviously?
I hope that I can do some more films, and that I have time and energy to come up with something that is really changing the world. We look upon our lives, and I want to do some more films that can really rock the boat. And I want to do a science fiction film about the climate change and turn upside down the transnational adoption topic. Mm. So in Europe is taken over by Asians. So it's the other way that you can adopt a child. They're going to adopt Danish people's children. And then I want to get deeper into my film language, to explore more of how you can use sound and picture. And I want to have more time to just write and like a writer that writes novels, but you live as a writer, because it makes the script better. And what I hope for is that more women are making films, so we can see more. I also hope that, let me put it in Norway. I hope that more films from all over the world can make their films, so we can see their perspectives on life. Mm. And I hope that that more people with a minority background can be directors. And I'm also a teacher at the National Film School of Denmark. And we are trying to take in more people of colors. Mm. Because we want to see other stories. We want to, in order to understand each other here on this planet, we need to start the dialogue between many groups of people around the world. So I hope that the next 20 years we will get to see films from all over the places. And also, like young women, girls, boys, their perspectives are important as well.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree, Marlene, and I share your hopes. So I really hope your desires and hope come true, so that it's a better world for everyone, at least cinematographic world. Thank you so much for talking to us today, and congrats for the Quiet Migration. I really hope to talk to you soon, to meet you soon for your next project.
Yeah, me too. Thank you.
And we've been talking to Marlene Tours, director of the Quiet Migration screening at the Sydney Film Festival in the Europe Voices of Women in Film program strand. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.